Let us shift now into our Vents Day segment. This is your weekly chance to vent politely on topics in the news, and for a rarity, because of the vociferousness of the arguments, as you've heard already from our first caller today, can be quite high, so we don't tend to deal with this very often. So you'll get the approach in just a moment. Let me give you the numbers first. 800-838-3760 to join us by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. And we also have results from our survey. Emily Curtin's here in the studio with me. So we'll pick up the topic from the previous segment, Abortion in America and the Roe versus Wade case, profiled in the play Roe at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. With the exception of gun rights, there may be no more hotly debated issue in America today. But rather than center on the back and forth of who's right, who's wrong, what's wrong, when life begins, and how laws allowing abortion should be changed, we set out for a more personal narrative in this week's survey. So how did we set this up, Emily?
Jeffrey, we came in a bit hot, perhaps, with this survey. We threw out a huge question right off the bat. We asked people, how has unintended pregnancy affected your life or the life of someone close to you? And I actually sat there in front of that blank myself for a long time thinking, oh, maybe this question was a bit broad. Though we did get quite a few responses. I posted the survey nationally after not a whole lot of response from our local communities. One curious thing that happened is that people were leaving their first names off of their responses, which...
It's unusual.
It's unusual. I mean, we throw lots of topics out there. I think the stigma of talking about a pretty fundamental biological process that kind of surprised me. So a lot of no names and towns given and personal narratives shared. We also asked people about childcare and what it is that society, not necessarily a biological mother, owes to children who are born.
Indeed. So that the two topics are completely related. I mean, you probably heard a few people down the years charge abortion opponents with caring entirely about life from conception to birth, but not beyond. So let's explore that. I mean, regardless of your feelings about abortion or the arguments on either side of it, simply put, we want to hear your thoughts on what society should provide just as a basic safety net level to give kids a reasonable chance at success in life. And how do we set those up?
We set that up a little differently. Rather than an open-ended question inviting anecdotes, we did a question followed by check boxes. And the survey is still online at the Jefferson Exchange Facebook page or on our website, jeffexchange.org. The second topic was set up with the statement, to every child born, society should guarantee ... And we asked people to check the ones you agree with. The options were paid parental leave, no cost higher education, tax breaks for families with children, food security, income and health care entitlements in old age, no cost health care during childhood only, or no cost child care. And then, of course, we left a blank for other people's ideas. We love those here on Vents Day.
Indeed, we do. So let's get your take on this. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. On the issue of pregnancy itself, we're looking for personal stories. Was there an unintended pregnancy event in your own life that you can tell us about? And remember, this is, we're trying to, without using the term safe place, it is a safe space to talk about this sort of thing. Because, you know, first names only, obviously people left their first names off of the survey. If you feel like you might be recognized if you talked about it on the radio, then send it to our email at jx@jeffnet.org. One thing I would ask, though, and we already had a demonstration of this, is characterize your own position. Way too much of what goes on when you discuss reproductive rights in America involves not only characterizing your own position, but also characterizing the other person's position for them, which is, I think, is one of the major obstacles, Emily, in discussing abortion issues, is that it's not just how I feel about my position, but here's how I know you feel.
Exactly. And I think that with the personal stories, it is the intention here is to listen and learn from each other's experiences. It's predominantly women who answered our survey, still up on Facebook, although we did have one one person who I know is a man answer it. And I would just encourage people, this doesn't mean that you have to have been pregnant to experience this. This is a phenomenon that can affect whole families, whole communities. Hope you'll participate here on Vents Day with your story.
Unplanned pregnancy and caring for society's children, the topics very much related this week on Vents Day. 800-838-3760 to get into the conversation by phone. By email, it's jx@jeffnet.org. The survey is still up on our Facebook page. We'll get back with more results, and we'll hear from you in a minute 10. Yeah. It's 8:36, and you're back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley.
And I'm Emily Curitan.
And this is our Events Day segment, your weekly chance to vent on a couple of topics in the news. This week we went for one of the more hot topics in America. We're talking around the edges, in a sense, of abortion and reproductive rights, spurred on by our earlier discussion with a law professor about what if Roe versus Wade were argued today. So specifically what we're looking for is not so much your ardent opinion one way or the other, but a story from your own life. If you have had to deal with an unintended pregnancy in your life, if somebody you know has had to deal with an unintended pregnancy, what the story is there. Our other topic related to that is the oft-made charge that people who care about restricting abortion don't want to do anything for children after they're born. And we want to talk from you about what the safety net for children should be like in the country. What should we be doing for children? These are the main topics, the safety net for children and your story of unplanned pregnancy. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760. Email is jx@jeffnet.org. And, of course, you can still take part in the survey we put up on our Facebook page.
That's right, Jeffrey. You sure can. And, you know, it wasn't exactly an overwhelming response to the survey. As I said, I think perhaps the question was too open-ended. We asked people, how has unintended pregnancy affected your life or the life of someone close to you? And that's a lot packed in there to just be staring at a blank. We got some responses, though, and many of them were culled from across the nation. I posted the survey in a group of over 3,000 women. It's a medically oriented group for stuff that happens uniquely to women's bodies. And so a lot of these responses come from there. One is from Natasha in Portland, Oregon. Natasha wrote into us, "Babies are beautiful miracles, but they are also a wrecker of plans and a derailer of lives when they're unplanned. I think that access to sexual education, contraception, both male and female, and abortion are powerful tools for societal progress." That comes from Natasha in Portland.
Okay, good to hear that. Let's go to Steve and Eugene on the phone. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Howdy. The only problem I have with the whole issue of abortion is that it's treated as though it's a case of immaculate conception. The woman is the only one that has any say in the whole thing. But takes two to tango. She's not the only one involved. If a man will take over, you know, the medical bills, take over living expenses for 9 months, well, the woman has the child, I think at least should be given that option.
Which option, Steve?
The option of taking over, you know, all expenses while the child is in gestation, if the mother will then walk away and leave the child in the man's hands.
So in other words, the man would gain custody of the child.
Right. Right.
It's so would you make it illegal for a woman to have an abortion against her partner's wishes?
That's the whole sticky mess. I don't know.
Yeah, it sure is, huh?
There are a lot of things I don't know in this life, and that's one of them.
All right. Okay. Steve, thanks so much for the thoughts. Very much appreciate that. So there is something on the table, the idea of if the male in the relationship, if the father of the child is willing to take over all the medical and other concerns, all the financial concerns, basically, for the pregnancy, and then walk off with the baby, leaving the mother without.
I can see some real, as Steve put it, a sticky mess. And we are talking about unplanned pregnancy here on the Exchange, so an appropriate characterization. You know, to talk about unintended pregnancy and then abortion, as Natasha in Portland, who wrote into us, she said it's one powerful tool for progress here. On our survey, one point we haven't touched on yet, Jeff, is we did ask people, is abortion accessible in your community? And I want to put that question out now to our listeners. Is abortion accessible Do you, and you know, if you don't know, that was an option. About a quarter of our survey responses said they didn't know. I thought it was interesting that 70% of the people who took the survey said, yes, abortion is accessible in my community. And then I pulled up some facts and I thought it was, you know, in 2011, almost 80% of all Oregon counties had no abortion clinic.
80%.
Yeah. And in California, 45% of California counties don't have an abortion or, you know, a facility within the county lines that provides abortions. So, and I would be, you know, if we had done a little digging into our listening area, which is predominantly rural, I'm sure a lot of those counties are within it. So interesting that 70% of people said abortion is accessible in your community while 80% of counties in this state or in Oregon do not have such facilities.
I wonder if they meant accessible like within 3 hours drive or something.
Right. That we go back to our discussion of Roe v. Wade and, you know, how do you parse words like
undue burden.
The undue burden.
Boy,
exactly.
Yeah. When you get into that realm, and that's why it was fun to talk to a lawyer before we got into this segment, was to get some sense of, wow, there is just so much room for interpretation when you get into things like undue burden. Another call here from the name is Silence in Oregon. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Good day. This is Silence Duguid. I've had the experience of, I have four daughters, two of them, in one, a previous marriage, we had an abortion. My ex-wife had an abortion. We experienced it together. It was very sad and very hurtful. Second wife, same thing, but we also had daughters from each of those populations, let's say. We also went ahead and had kids again, and I have a beautiful 26-year-old daughter who lives in New Jersey. She's a beautician, musician. And another beautiful daughter is 13 now and two kids in college. But anyway, long story short, my thing is, with these people who stand out in front of the clinics, family planning and whatnot, I like to ask them what they're doing to see kids, you know, making it in the world, what they're doing to help children who need to be adopted. I feel like these people should get behind the adoption situation in America because there's so many kids either neglected or abused, and what are they doing to help that situation rather than judging? And then the other, you know, people, women who need to do whatever they need to do for themselves. And then last but not least, the Creator said, you know, we all have free will. So to each his own, you know.
All right, Silence.
And that's about all I have to say.
All right, thanks so much for joining us on The Exchange today on Vince Day.
Yeah, to each his own. I mean, not an opinion you often come by in this debate. People tend to have an opinion. We certainly got several of them on our survey, Jeff. You know, in terms of the sort of male perspective on this does tend to be a little bit different. I think actually being able to get pregnant might change your views. I'd love to hear from more people who have been pregnant, can get pregnant, will get pregnant in the future. We certainly directed our survey towards them. We got a comment here from Austin, Texas. No name given. Another curious phenomenon here on a first name only survey. Expensive abortions, even more expensive children, job loss, inadequate parenting, and skills lead to stress for everyone. Someone in Austin, Texas wrote that into us when we asked them, how has unintended pregnancy affected your life?
Okay, so that is the major topic here on Vince Day. How has unplanned pregnancy affected your life? And of course, the other point that we're trying to get comments on is what society owes to children to make sure that they can grow up healthy, happy, well-adjusted, you name it, just good contributing members of society. Join us at 800-838-3760 over the phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. The survey is still open at our Facebook page, and I do notice that we're getting a lot of phone calls from men so far. And you know,
that's pretty typical of this show, Jeff.
True, it is that, and that's typical of all call-in shows. I find talk radio does tend to be a male area, but the point is, as Emily made a moment ago, probably good if we could get a perspective from somebody who actually does now or has formerly owned a uterus, because men will never be in that situation generally. But let's hear from the people we have online right now. Sandy in Mount Shasta, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Yeah, hi, Jeff. I want to comment on the question you just posed a second ago about what the society owe.
Yeah.
And I guess the bottom line is, as I see it, is society owes. The single thing we could do that would help us most, I think, right now is to make sure that people understand child development. I've been working with preschool-age children for the last 3 years, and I'm just astonished at how much more I've learned about being a human being from them than I have from years of study and therapy and what have you. And I think what we really owe kids, we owe creating social conditions that ensure that their parents don't have to abandon them for most of the day by working. And people actually get, I know so many people, even families that where the both the adults are pursuing, you know, exciting careers they find exciting but exhausting.
Right.
And they're gonna turn around at some point and realize I wasn't there for my child's maturation. I wasn't there. I wasn't really paying attention to the developmental milestones that were happening.
All right,
really regret it.
So we're talking about creating potentially programs that would allow at least one parent to stay home with the children.
Yeah, and one of the things that we'd have to do is get rid of this idea that somehow education, you know, providing better education will cure poverty. It won't. You need to cure the poverty first so the parents can actually be present for their children and actually learn and feel motivated to learn.
All right.
And then, of course, we could do with taking maybe 0.1% of the military budget we have in this country and actually turning it towards families.
All right. Thanks for that, Sandy. Appreciate it.
Sandy touched on some very interesting points that people also responded to in our survey. We asked them, to every child born, society should guarantee, and we gave them some blanks to check off. One of them was no-cost childcare, and 64% of the Jefferson Exchange survey respondents agreed that society should guarantee any child born with care. And, you know, whether the question of how that might get married, so to speak, to our other option, paid parental leave. 91% of the people who filled out the survey agreed in paid parental leave. In Oregon, you know, I pay into short-term disability insurance in case I were to get pregnant, because that's how the state considers that condition. It's on par with breaking your arm. And in terms of paid maternity leave, I actually don't know off the top of my head where that stands, but I'm guessing the situation is bleak. If you have information, if you've experienced issues with getting leave to take care of your children, be with your young children, we hope you'll call in 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Let us know how it's shaped your view of the world and what society owes its children.
And here is a call from Sarah in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Defense Day. Sarah, are you there?
Oh, yes, I am. I wanted to comment and say that I'm a 40-year-old woman. I do not have any children at this point in my life. I probably am looking at never having children. However, I lived with my younger brother, who went through a very messy divorce and ended up with custody of his three very young children. They were all under the age of 5. And I lived with him and helped him raise them for several years. And watching a single parent struggle with the types of things that he had to struggle with very much influenced my choices about whether or not to have children. I had considered adopting on my own. I had considered artificial insemination for a variety of reasons. I don't have a partner at this point in my life. But I did watch him struggle to the point to where we were going to the food bank. I was not working in order to stay home with the kids. And it was a very, very eye-opening experience to me for the type of services that were not available or easily accessible to somebody like him that was in the situation he was in. And this is not somebody who stays home and doesn't work. My brother is, you know, very hardworking and determined, as both of us were. His ex-wife, unfortunately, was not really in the situation to help out. But
mm-hmm. Sarah, had you thought that those services existed before your brother was in that situation?
It didn't really. It was kind of a switch of perspective for me, because I had always wanted to have kids. I had always wanted to have a family. But after watching someone very close to me and helping out with that struggle, it was very difficult for both of us. And, you know, the kids are almost all teenagers now. And so it's been several years. So maybe part of it was that we were quite a bit younger at that age as well. And, you know, as a sister coming in, it was a different experience for me, not being quite as connected as a parent. But I had emergency rights for the kids if I had to pick them up from school or if I had to take them to the doctor. I mean, I was almost considered a second guardian without having that legal piece of paper behind it. So, but it did definitely change my perspective on it and thinking, I don't think I could do this. I do have another friend that is a single mother, and she was almost in poverty with her children at one point. And she did access after school care, and she did access, school lunches and things like that. And it was, I think there's got to be some give and take here, where I find that often the argument is, well, we shouldn't have abortion, but we also don't want to provide public services.
Exactly,
and
Sarah.
People in a very, very difficult situation where we're saying, well, the government shouldn't provide anything because, that's the way that our government works. People should survive on their own. People should pull themselves up by their bootstraps. People should just somehow magically come up with this extra money and this extra time to, get a second job.
A lot easier
said
than
done. Like your previous caller was saying, it's sometimes not a reality.
Yeah, Sarah, thank you so much for sharing your story. We're hustling you along here because the phone banks are filled with other people who have these stories of parenting is not always what it's cracked up to be, and being pregnant certainly isn't always either. Let's get to another call, Jeff.
Here's Anonymous in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. Anonymous, you're up.
Hi there.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. Sorry, I put you on hold for a second because I didn't think you were there.
Oh,
go ahead.
That's okay. Not a problem.
You're back.
So I definitely share a lot of experience with the previous caller. I mean, my mom accessed after-school programs and free lunches and all that sort of thing. But when I became pregnant the first time with a man that I had no interest in honestly spending the rest of my life with and didn't see how I was going to be able to move forward with that person in a financial and life, long, essentially, partnership to raise that child, it was a difficult decision, but one that was ultimately empowering me to, take care of myself.
Which decision is that?
I'm sorry?
Which decision?
In having an abortion.
Uh-huh.
And in choosing to end that pregnancy and end that life. And I later talked to some protesters who were outside of Planned Parenthood later, some weeks later, and they had a sign that said, do you know how beautiful your baby is? And I laughed because I absolutely knew how beautiful my baby was. There was a life inside of me, and I could, feel his amazing spirit. It's an incredible thing to be a woman, and I think part of why we're not seeing this care that should be provided to women is because the people, unfortunately, who are making most of the decisions are men, and men simply just do not understand the amazing, incredible, miraculous experience it is to be able to harbor a life and give life, and also, within that power, choose to not give it or to end a life.
Thank you so much for those thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to Amanda in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day, Unplanned Pregnancy and Safety Nets for Children, the topics.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Amanda. I am 27, living in Medford. I, as a woman who has had an abortion, I feel very strongly that, there are many choices that are made for us that we don't agree with. However, one thing that I would like to say concerning the social services that don't exist for women who have experienced abortions, I mean, there are many. The one that I would like to just encourage listeners to maybe participate in is being there for people that you know, or being an ear for people that you know who have experienced the process of abortion, because there aren't support groups, especially when you live in rural communities, there aren't, it's really hard to find a non-agended group of people who are willing to be there and not take a stance, politically. So that's one thing that I'm just reaching out for.
Amanda, were you able to find that?
No. I mean, it's hard because it's such a sensitive issue to talk about. And even if you're talking to someone who may have also had an abortion and gone through that, everybody's, circumstance is so different. It's hard to maybe get on the same page in a group of sensitivity, even women who have no regrets, like myself, about that situation. It's still a very emotional and traumatic experience that will probably follow me for the rest of my life.
Thank you for sharing with us today, Amanda.
Absolutely. Let's go to, we have an anonymous in Wairika on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Thank you. Although I'm not happy, the comment I have is personal experiences with people in jail and in prison, as I was, and almost universal. The people who were in prison were either not wanted or because of financial or struggle or social problems were not wanted or could tell that they were a drain on their parents. And those are the people who were not aborted, but if they had been wanted, they could have achieved a useful life. And I think every child needs to know that they are wanted enough to be able to be to survive, whereas the mandate of what's going on now is you will have that child and you will not have any ability to nurture it with any kind of financial help.
All right. Thanks for sharing that story. It's an opinion we've heard a couple times before about what happens to the people who are not wanted and
yeah.
grow up with the lack of services available in our society.
And I think kids, it's been pretty much every kind of test you can give them. They'll score lower on it if you were not wanted. But it looks like we have an interesting comment here. Margaret in Arcata just wrote in. Margaret writes, "In the 50s, I arranged an abortion for my roommate. Her partner drove me to an expensive house where an expensively dressed man with an oily and suspicious manner interviewed me. I don't think it was he who actually performed the operation. My roommate got an infection as a result of the operation and was in pain from pelvic inflammatory disease for several weeks. I feared I had helped to make her unable to have children and was very cheered when I learned that many years later she had a child. I told my children as they were growing up that the availability of legal abortion is a necessary right, but it's very important to make every effort not to have an abortion. We need to be sure that everyone has access to contraception, and we need to make sure that women and couples have the means to raise a wanted child." Thanks for those comments, Margaret in Arcata.
And I think I saw similar comments elsewhere in our survey this week that people were saying, okay, gets back to the people who say that they want abortion to be safe, legal, and rare. What are the circumstances under which it should be provided? And what else comes with it? Because it's a much larger universe of things like methods of birth control and sexual education, things that people need to know how their bodies work before they get into a situation where they might end up desiring an abortion.
And pay equity for women and perhaps just a more egalitarian society. So much to talk about. Hopefully listening to these stories here on Vince Day helps you think about the world in a broader, lighter way.
We appreciate the input. Sorry to leave John and Brad hanging. Won't have enough time to take your comments today. The survey is still up on Facebook, and we discovered that these surveys seem to have a life of their own after the Vince Day
they
segment
sure
is over. I'm Jeffrey Riley.
And I'm Emily Curitan. Thank you for being part of Vince Day.